You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Monday, July 12th, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode, we have got a whole lot to get to. First up, we will recap a tough weekend of Orioles baseball as they were swept by the Chicago White Sox heading into the All-Star break. We'll be a little quicker today. It's not our usual three big takeaways episode here on a Monday. We'll get you the five things you need to know from the weekend series in whole against the White Sox. Then we're going to quickly break down the Orioles' first round draft selection from Sunday night's first round of the MLB draft. With the fifth pick overall, they took Colton Cowser, the outfielder out of Sam Houston State, seen a little bit as another underslot draft pick similar to the Heston Kerstad pick in 2020, but this one is a little bit different than Kerstad, and we'll talk about why that is the case. And then a little bit at the end about the futures game on Sunday. Adley Rutschman and Marcos Diplon each played representing the Orioles, and then we'll look ahead to Trey Mancini in the Home Run Derby tonight. So that's all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by another podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, that is Locked On MLB Prospects. It's MLB draft season, and the Locked On MLB Prospects podcast is covering every future star of Major League Baseball. Host Aram Layton brings you player interviews and farm system breakdowns every single day. Subscribe to Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods. But before we do get to that draft we just mentioned, gotta jump into the weekend for the Orioles, as it wasn't their worst baseball of the year, although it wasn't great. And they go into the All-Star break being swept by the White Sox and the Orioles through the kind of fake first half, you call it, because it's been more than 81 games, but they are 28-61, currently on pace for a 51-111 record, which would put them right in the middle of the win total just about of 2018 and 2019. But the Orioles, tough weekend. They lose 12-1 on Friday, they lose 8-3 on Saturday, and they lose 7-5 in 10 innings on Sunday at Camden Yards. And instead of our usual three big takeaways episodes on Monday, we got a lot more to get to today, as I mentioned at the top. So five things you need to know from the entire weekend is what we're going to get to on this episode. So the first thing you need to know from a tough weekend sweep for the Orioles is the O's need more starting pitching. We've talked about it a lot, and even Brandon Hyde talked about it multiple times this weekend. Here is the starts the Orioles got. Now, Jorge Lopez on Friday night, frankly, wasn't awful. Four innings, two runs, eight hits, four Ks, and a walk. Now, he didn't get deep into the game, but he only gave up the two runs over four innings. Then you go to Saturday's game. Thomas Eshelman, two innings, four runs, four hits, one strikeout, three walks, and a home run allowed. Your best start of the weekend came from Spencer Watkins, who was once again pretty good, or at least by the Orioles standards, in his second career start. He goes on Sunday, 4 1/3, one run, four hits, four Ks, three walks, and a solo home run allowed to Andrew Vaughn for the only run allowed. And, you know, for Spencer Watkins, he has done enough to keep himself in the starting rotation, I think, when the Orioles return from the All-Star break on Friday. But he's not giving them super length. And, you know, you watch the stuff. It's not amazing stuff. And this is going to end up blowing up on him at some point, but it's nice that he's pitching well, and he's got a 1.74 ERA through his first three appearances, two of which have been starts after he went five innings, one run in his first career start. But, you know, you can't rely on Spencer Watkins to be your second best pitcher, and the Orioles will get John Means back shortly after the All-Star break. At some point, we're hoping in July, maybe August, they're going to get Bruce Zimmerman back. Those are their best two starting pitchers. That'll help. But you can't be getting two innings from Eshelman after you get four innings from Lopez. At the very least, I know Lopez hasn't been great this year, but he's been kind of consistent. You need him to at least pitch deeper into the game than four innings. I mean, the Orioles had to use a lot of relievers in that Friday night game, in a game that got out of hand. They lost 12-1 because they just couldn't get length from Jorge Lopez. And again, for Eshelman, you know, the Orioles really were lucky on Saturday that even though Thomas Eshelman only threw two innings, they only had to use three pitchers in the game because Thursday's game ended up being postponed against the Blue Jays. Keegan Aiken, who was supposed to be the starter that night, did not pitch. He did not get scheduled to start. Instead, the Orioles kind of had an extra long reliever, and they were able to turn it over to Aiken, who pitched okay in relief. He did give the Orioles 4 1/3, 4 runs, 6 hits. He did strike out 6 and just walk 1, so he was okay. And then they turned it over to Adam Pletko, who had one of his better outings of the year, actually. And it, you know, it came in a game where the Orioles were losing the whole time, and it was late in the game, so people didn't really notice. But Pletko gave him 2 2/3, scoreless, 3 hits, 2 Ks, and 1 walk. And so the Orioles were lucky to only have to use 3 pitchers in that one. But then you turn, you know, to Sunday, and you know, you're not expecting much from Spencer Watkins. That's the thing. I'm not mad at Spencer Watkins for only going 4 1/3, but you're not expecting that, so you should be ready for that to happen. Instead, all of your long guys are done. You have to use all of your, you know, high leverage relievers, and then you lose a game in extra innings. Orioles need some starting pitching help. Either Aiken and Dean Kramer and Wells or Lowther, somebody's got to figure it out, or they might have to get some veteran help in here to help out this team. But the second thing you need to know from the weekend for the Orioles is that, you know what? I was actually, you know, a little bit impressed by Kelvin Gutierrez. You know, this is a guy we talked about on Thursday's episode, who the Orioles claimed off of waivers from the Kansas City Royals. He played one game in Norfolk before the Orioles called him up after they placed Michael Franco on the injured list. And it's not like he's had, you know, these amazing games, but listen, he goes 2 for 3 with a couple of singles in the Friday night game for Gutierrez. Now, he did have an 0-for-3 with 3 Ks on Saturday, but he came back with a 1-for-4 and a big single to get the rally going in the bottom of the 10th in the game on Sunday. Did not strike out in that game either. He made a really, really good play on Sunday, robbing Lurie Garcia of a bunt base hit. Incredible barehanded off-balance throw, really strong one across the diamond. It was honestly Manny Machado-esque at third base for Kelvin Gutierrez, and I was really impressed by that play, and he's been solid for the Orioles, you know, filling in for Franco and being a waiver claim. You know, it's been pretty solid, and I wish Jahmai Jones was here instead of him, but, you know, what he's been doing has at least been formidable for the Orioles. Third thing you need to know from the weekend, what a moment it was on Sunday. You know, even though the Orioles ended up losing the game in 10 innings, what a, you know, home run derby leading into home run derby, you know, pre-derby moment for Trey Mancini. You know, he's been struggling a little bit lately. Now, he did have a double in Friday's game and, you know, 1 for 5 Saturday. And, you know, Brandon Hyde said he's going to get the day off on Sunday. And we really saw that when Ryan Mountcastle left with injury and he put in Pat Valaika instead. But after a Ryan McKenna 2-out single against Liam Hendricks in the bottom of the 9th on Sunday, Orioles trailing 4-2, you know, he goes to Trey Mancini, pinch hitting for Domingo Leyba, and Mancini hits a 2-run shot over the right field wall with the Orioles down to their last out to tie the game at 4 against a top-3 closer in baseball in Liam Hendricks. And it was a fantastic lead into the home run derby tonight. And yes, you know, the O's give up 3 runs in the top of the 10th. Tyler Wells allows the 3-run homer to Adam Engel, and they end up losing 7-5. But it was a cool moment, at least, to, you know, end the first half. And it stinks that they lost the game, but the Orioles felt dead. You know, in that game Sunday, Cedric Mullins led off the game with a single. Austin Hayes followed with a 2-run homer. The next hit the Orioles got in that game was McKenna's 2-out single in the 9th, right before Mancini's 2-run homer. For 7 innings, the Orioles had no hits in that game, and it felt like they were dead to rights, and that was a cool moment from Mancini. So it's, you know, just the third thing you need to know, but also just like a positive takeaway from the game and from the first half in general. But the fourth thing you need to know, I just mentioned it. I mean, Austin Hayes, when he wants to, he can put on a show, and the Orioles really need him in there every day, and it just feels like he's not at the point health-wise where he can be in there every day. He had an 0-for-4 Friday. He did not play in the game Saturday until he pinch hit in the 8th inning and drew a bases loaded walk and got an RBI. And then he starts in right field Sunday, has an incredible first inning, you know, on a line drive to right with 2 on and 1 out in the first, makes the catch and throws an absolute BB of a strike to third base to get Juan Moncada trying to take third to end the inning. And then in the bottom of the first pitch, Mullins bunt single. Second pitch, Hayes goes the other way for a 2-run homer, his 9th of the season, to put the Orioles up 2-0. And yes, that was his only hit. He also drew a walk, but he's just a fun, fun player to watch. And I just need him to be fully healthy because it's awesome to see him play like that. It really, really is. And then we have our fifth and final takeaway, or should I say fifth and final thing you need to know from the weekend for the Orioles. And that is that this weekend, I don't know why more than other weekends, it just made it kind of clear to me that there is a serious scenario where the Orioles do not make any trades at the trade deadline at the end of this month. You know, you looked through the team at the beginning of the season. You felt like, you know, okay, some of these guys could be trade candidates. You know, the veterans like Michael Franco and Freddie Galvis that they brought in. Both of them hurt. Neither of them are going to be traded. You thought about maybe some of these bullpen guys. You know, we thought about maybe a Paul Fry and a Tanner Scott. Scott still could be traded. He's been really good lately. But Paul Fry, once again, wasn't great. You know, gave up two runs on a hit, a walk over an inning in relief on Sunday. We were thinking maybe Cole Saucer. He had a really, really good season going. But Saucer had a bad weekend, gave up two runs and walked two in an inning of work on Friday, and then gave up the go-ahead three-run homer in the game on Sunday. And now he is kind of off the board as a trade candidate. And those are kind of the three relievers, and with Galvis hurt and Franco hurt. And, you know, with the big names, Santander seemed like a sexy trade candidate. He hasn't been performing. I don't think they're going to get him because his value is not nearly as high as it was last year. And then you have the big names, Mancini, Means, and Mullins. I just don't think they're going to deal any of them right now. And with just from what I've seen from the weekend and just in general, it just doesn't feel like the Orioles are going to really move anyone at this point and aren't going to be able to really get an influx of minor league talent at the trade deadline. But there's a good thing because they're going to get an influx of minor league talent this week, and that has already started. With the 2021 Major League Baseball draft kicking off last night with the first round. And the Orioles made their selection, a guy that a lot of people saw the O's taking, in the Sam Houston State center fielder, Colton Cowser. That's who the Orioles drafted with the fifth overall pick. So coming up next, we'll get you the quick breakdown and scouting report on Cowser, why the Orioles took him there, what he projects as, and what the Orioles could do next in the draft. That's all coming up right after this break. So we'll get to discussing the Orioles' first-round pick in the MLB draft this year in just a second, but first, got to tell you about BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Now, we got baseball season in full swing, and we got the Home Run Derby tonight, and you can bet on and track all the action from the Derby right there on BetOnline.ag. You can get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, not just baseball, but how about the NBA Finals as well as Game 4 coming up on Wednesday night. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you can receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So whether you want to bet on the NBA, the NHL, UFC, Major League Baseball, or anything in between, head over to betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So yes, the Orioles may have played and lost three baseball games against the Chicago White Sox this weekend and sent them to 28-61 into the All-Star break, but honestly, for the Orioles right now, more importantly, the MLB draft kicked off on Sunday night with the first round, and the Orioles had the fifth overall selection, and in case you did miss it, the Orioles took Colton Cowser with that pick. He is an outfielder out of Sam Houston State. That is a school in Texas in the Southland Conference. Plays center field, bats left-handed, throws right-handed, and just played his third season with Sam Houston State in 2021. So later in the week, we're going to have Jason Barfield, the play-by-play voice of Sam Houston State baseball, back on this podcast. He's actually been on this pod before, back in early May. He came on to talk about Jordan Cannon, who had a really hot start for the Orioles in Delmarva, one of the O's catching prospects who played his college baseball at Sam Houston State. And Jason is going to join us once again later this week. That'll be Thursday's episode. We're going to get the full breakdown of Colton Cowser's college career. But did want to give you the, you know, quick breakdown right here as the Orioles take him in the first round, a big piece that's going to be, you know, put right into, you know, the Orioles top 10 in their farm system. It's going to be a big piece for the Orioles going forward. So I mentioned it, center fielder for Sam Houston State, 21 years old. He will be 22 next March, a native of Cypress, Texas, where he played at Cypress Ranch High School and then played three seasons at Sam Houston State. Again, left-handed batter, right-handed thrower. In 2019, as a freshman at Sam Houston State, he was named the Southland Conference Hitter of the Year. Was just incredible as a freshman. 56 games, he hit .361 with a .450 on base and a .602 slugging percentage. He had 7 home runs, 17 doubles, 7 triples, 54 RBIs. He was 9-for-9 stealing bases, and he had 26 walks to 29 strikeouts, almost even strikeout-to-walk ratio. So he really just dominated as a freshman. Now, of course, his sophomore year in 2020 was cut short due to the coronavirus pandemic. So he only got 14 games in as a sophomore, and he wasn't as dominant, but still had a good year. He ended up 14-for-55 at the plate. That's a .255 average. He had a .379 on base, just a .364 slugging. Of those 14 hits, he had 10 singles, 3 doubles, and a homer, 6 RBIs for him in 2020, 5-for-7 stealing bases, but again, walk to strikeouts were good, 8 walks, 9 strikeouts. And I should mention in 2019, 14 hit-by-pitches led his team. He was hit by 3 more pitches in 2020. Then it was 2021 that really put Couser on the map as not just a good player, but a potential first-round draft pick in 2021. He was ridiculous this year for Sam Houston State. In 55 games, he hit .374 with a .490 on base and a .680 slugging percentage, all career highs for him. He ended up having 10 doubles, 2 triples, but the power numbers went up. 16 home runs and 52 RBIs for Couser. Stolen base numbers went up. He was 17-for-20 stealing bags, and the batter's eye got better and better. 42 walks to just 32 strikeouts in 253 plate appearances in 2021. Was also hit by 6 pitches on the year as well. So the college stats add up. He is a great hitter, and many have called him the second best college bat in the 2021 draft class. Now, the top college bat was pretty much across the board Henry Davis, who was the catcher out of Louisville, who, a little bit surprisingly, you know, basically everybody thought he was going to go in the top 5. It really felt like if he fell to number 5, the Orioles were going to take him. He ended up going number 1 overall, Davis did, to the Pittsburgh Pirates. So the Orioles, many feel that they picked the second best college hitter behind the guy who went number 1 overall. Now, defensively for Couser, he basically played his whole 3-year career as the starting center fielder for Sam Houston State. But, you know, he played a little bit of right field and left field, and many have said that he can play all 3 outfield positions. However, he is not a guy who they feel like is going to move. 6'3", 195 pounds right now for Couser, but as you can see from the stolen base numbers in his career, where he ended up stealing 31 bags in 3 seasons, he can run and he can play center field. And Mike Elias said this to the media after the draft pick on Sunday night, that he is going to stick in center field, and he projects as, you know, not just a center fielder now who moves to the corner, but he projects as a big league center fielder. And that's big as well, because production from a corner outfield bat is much different than production from a center fielder. Obviously, Heston Kerstad was picked in 2020. He was projected as a left or right fielder with this huge power. Couser's, you know, bat is similar to Kerstad's, maybe a little better in some senses, but he also looks like a guy who can play and stick in center field, which makes him even more valuable. And then we get to, you know, what the other options were and where Couser was ranked. Now, you know, in the month or so leading up to the draft, we did hear the name Colton Couser a lot connected to the Orioles, but it was seen as a potential to go under slot, which is what the Orioles did with Heston Kerstad. Now, the little breakdown on what that means: every single pick in the first round of the MLB draft, and really in the first 5 rounds, has a slot value, which is basically the approximated value that it should take to sign that draft pick with his signing bonus. So, for example, when the Orioles took Adley Rutschman with the first overall pick in 2019, the slot value for that first overall pick was $8.1 million, and that is what the Orioles gave him, the exact amount of that slot deal. Now, the reason why these slots exist is because each team has its own pool of money that they can use to sign players in the draft. So with Adley Rutschman, you know, you didn't go over under slot. You gave him what, you know, the pick warranted. But it's different for Heston Kerstad, who the Orioles took second overall in 2020. That was an under slot pick by the Orioles. Now, the slot value for that pick was $7.8 million, but the Orioles signed him for only $5.2 million. So they saved $2.6 million with that pick. They were able to allocate those $2.6 million between Kobe Mayo and Carter Baumler, the two high school players who the Orioles took in the fourth and fifth rounds of last year's draft, who probably otherwise would have not gone to the draft, would have instead went to college, but the Orioles were able to offer them more money than other teams were able to because they had saved that money. And the thought is that this is what the Orioles are going to be able to do once again with Colton Cowser. Now, the slot value of this number five pick this year in the 2021 draft is about $6.1 million. But in talking to Jeff Ellis, who covers the MLB draft here for the Locked On Podcast Network and with others, he thinks the Orioles will be able to sign Colton Cowser for somewhere in between $3 and $4 million. So there could be a savings of up to $3 million with this pick. And, you know, it'll probably end up more in the $2 million range, kind of closer to what they saved last year. But even with $2 million, that means the Orioles can offer a little bit more money to these later round draft picks to try and get them to sign. Specifically, you do it to high school guys who may be inclined to go play college baseball at a big program like Vanderbilt or Florida, wherever they may go. But instead, if you're able to offer them a little bit more money than other teams don't have, you can draft them and convince them to sign and get them into your system. Now, the Orioles were able to offer a little bit more money to Jordan Westberg, Kobe Mayo, and Carter Baumler in last year's draft, and they could specifically do it with their second round pick this year or with guys later in the draft. And that is the thing with Cowser. But the difference between Cowser and Kerstad is that the, you know, rank of these players versus where they were actually drafted is not as big of a difference. When the Orioles took Kerstad number two overall in 2020, he was kind of maybe 9th, 10th, 11th on people's big boards and mock drafts. So, you know, that's 8 to 9 picks for some people between where he should have gone and where he did go. For Colton Cowser, again, many have called him the second best college bat in the draft. I've seen people have him as high as 6th or 7th on their board of the best players in the draft, and the Orioles took him 5th. Now, nobody thought he was a top 5 player, but I saw someone 6, and I saw a couple 7s, and I saw a lot of 8s, 9s, and 10s, so that difference is a lot smaller this year, which means for the value of the pick just talent-wise, the Orioles took a guy a little bit closer to that pick, and it still looks like they're going to be able to save a lot of money. And, you know, it's not that Mike Elias is going to do this every year. If you remember back to 2019, he took Adley Rutschman. Rutschman was the consensus number one player, and the Orioles drafted him. They didn't try to underslot with anyone. They didn't try to save money. They drafted Rutschman. They gave him exactly what the pick was worth at $8.1 million, and they were still able to get Gunnar Henderson in the second round. So if the Orioles, you know, potentially do draft number one overall in 2022, these last two picks don't mean that they're going to go under slot value. A name like Elijah Green is being talked about as being the number one pick in the 2022 draft. If he's there and he's the consensus number one, Michael Elias has still shown that he will take him. But it's important to know why he does these underslot picks, and Cowser was another one of them. But that doesn't mean he's not talented. He's still a consensus top 10 player in the draft. Again, the second best college hitter. He's got great hitting tools from the left side. He's a great center fielder defensively, and he is going to be a good big leaguer one day for the Orioles. But again, later this week, Thursday's episode, we'll have Jason Barfield on, the play-by-play voice of Sam Houston State Baseball, to talk a lot more about Cowser the player and his college career. But right here on this episode, we're going to finish up when we come back with a little bit of futures game talk. Adley Rutschman and Marcos Dipline were in the game for the Orioles. And then look ahead to tonight, Trey Mancini on the big stage once again in the Home Run Derby. We'll talk about that coming up after the break. So we're back to the Orioles talk in just a second, but first got to tell you about Built Bar and their limited time flavor. That is the Built Bar Grasshopper Cookie. It's available this week only. You can get that new flavor. And what does it taste like? This is Built Bar's version of the classic Thin Mint cookie. All the flavor without all the sugar. It's got just 150 calories. It's got 17 grams of protein. And again, only 5 grams of sugar. It's just one of the amazing and delicious flavors of Built Bar to go along with double chocolate, salted caramel, cookies and cream, and many, many more. And All these Built Bars, great tasting, but they're healthy too. Most of them have 17 to 18 grams of protein and less than 180 calories. So order today and get the Grasshopper Cookie or whatever you might like. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So the Orioles take Colton Cowser with their first pick in the 2021 draft. And we know they left guys like Khalil Watson, the exciting high school shortstop, on the board. They left Kamar Rocker, the right-handed pitcher from Vanderbilt, on the board. They left a guy like Harry Ford, you know, a solid high school player, on the board. They left other shortstops, you know, like, Jordan Lawler and Brady House on the board as well. So there were guys left out there that the Orioles didn't take Colton Cowser. We'll see how it pays off down the line. Again, the draft is, you can't evaluate it now. You got to wait 3, 4, 5 years down the line to really evaluate these draft picks. But we've been able to evaluate some of the Orioles' more recent draft picks. And one of those guys has been Adley Rutschman, who of course is soon to be the number one overall prospect in baseball, has been tearing it up at AA Bowie this year, and also played in the All-Star Week Futures game on Sunday at Coors Field in Colorado. He got the start at catcher for the American League team and was hitting fourth in the lineup and only got 2 plate appearances. His first one came in the top of the second. He actually faced Max Meyer, the hard-throwing Miami Marlins right-hander who went fourth in the draft in 2020 to Miami. He got him to pop up on a cutter inside. And then in the next plate appearance for Adley Rutschman, he entered the game, or came up, I should say, in the top of the fourth, worked a 4-pitch walk against Quinn Priester in that at-bat, and that ended his day after he was catching defensively as well, and he came out of the game. Quinn Priester, by the way, right-handed pitcher, one of the top prospects in the Pirates organization. And then the Orioles had, a somewhat more surprising guy in this Futures game. And that was the right-hander, Marcos Diplon. And, he's been pretty good out of the AAA Norfolk Tides bullpen this year. It's a 24-year-old for the Orioles, but just kind of a surprising guy because Diplon not on the Orioles' top 30 prospect list and not even a guy that, the Orioles have drafted or even signed originally. The Orioles claimed him off waivers back in December of 2019, and he's been in the system since then. But, this was not a guy who, has ever been a super highly rated prospect or even a top 30 guy for the Orioles. So it was interesting that he got into this game. Now, again, he's been good in Norfolk, 14 games out of the Norfolk bullpen, has a 2.60 ERA, 22 Ks, 6 walks, and 17 and a third innings. But it was just really hard to figure out why he pitched in this game. And to be honest, he probably had the worst showing of any pitcher in the game. And, he's not the top prospect that a lot of these guys are, but he did get hit around a little bit in this game. For Diplon, he entered the game in the bottom of the 5th inning, and he ended up striking out Heliot Ramos. He came in with 2 outs and nobody on in the 5th, struck out Ramos, one of the top Giants prospects, and was looking good. Thought he might just come out of the game there after the strikeout, but he actually then came out in the 6th and allowed back-to-back home runs to Brennan Davis and Francisco Alvarez. Alvarez, an incredible prospect in the Mets system, and then came out of the game, so he ended up giving up 2 runs over a third of an inning. But it was cool to kind of see him there, an unexpected face to see in that game. And I got to tell you, there's a really good chance we're going to see Diplon pitching out of the Orioles' bullpen at some point here in the second half for the O's. So definitely something at least to look forward to. But last thing here on today's episode, I hope you'll all be watching the Home Run Derby tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. Trey Mancini, what a great story. They're going to tell it over and over again, his comeback from colon cancer. And he, of course, in his last at-bat of the first half, hit a home run, as we talked about, tying the game in the 9th inning on Sunday off of Leon Hendricks. That sets him up for the Home Run Derby. He is the number 6 seed in the Home Run Derby bracket. He will be taking on Matt Olson, the big left-handed slugger for the Oakland Athletics, in the first round of tonight's Derby. Olson season, 23 home runs in the first half, hit two of them in Sunday's game, in the last game before the All-Star break. He's been red hot lately, should be a good matchup there. If Mancini does win that first round matchup, he's going to face the winner of Joey Gallo, who hit some monster bombs, and the hometown guy, Trevor Story. So that's going to be really tough. And then if he does make it to the finals, it could be any one of Shohei Ohtani, Juan Soto, Salvador Perez, or Pete Alonso that he would face. I don't expect Trey to win this, but it would be absolutely fantastic if he does. We'll be tweeting along and watching along with you guys tonight for the Home Run Derby. But as far as the podcast goes, we will be back with another episode tomorrow. We will recap how Trey did in the Home Run Derby, and we'll have a lot of focus, especially if he does win the whole thing. We are also going to talk about some more Orioles draft picks, because later today, the 2nd through 10th rounds of the MLB draft commences. We're going to have a lot more guys to talk about. We'll touch briefly on a couple of the guys that the Orioles pick as well, and then we'll look ahead to Tuesday night's All-Star game, which we really hope Cedric Mullins will be starting in. But that's all coming up tomorrow. Until then, I'm Connor Newcomb. This has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.